So today's a big day. We're at the 100 mark. Look at that. Would you believe it? So today's daf is daf kuf. Masechet Bava Batra. And we're holding actually down in the middle of the daf. At approximately, let's see, where did we get up to? We did already Rav Yehuda. So we're about five lines up from the middle of the daf. And let me just remind you of where we were at. An interesting Mishnah that said that if somebody had a public road that was going through his property, and in order to make life a little easier on himself, he changed the placement of the road, put it up against the side of his property so that it would no longer be smack bang in the middle. What happens is that the new area actually accrues to the public, but he's unable to reclaim the area that they had originally had as his own, and now he's out double. Very strange halacha, which first the Gemara took to mean that he's out because he has no way of enforcing the keeping the public off of the road that they were used to using, which was a raya that you cannot be of Idina Lenafshe, even where you're being cheated out of something, which is not true, halacha. And so we said, okay, the reason for that is because you fooled around with the road, and anytime you fool around with the public road, we actually had three machlokas, three approaches, but Ravashi's approach at the end is because of the fact that any change in the placement of a public road is inconvenient for somebody or another, therefore you have no way of stopping them from using the original road. Okay. But then we got into a problem about why you can't take back now the new road that you gave them under the mistaken, you had a misapprehension here that you could replace it, but you can't. So it's a mekach tot. You should be able to get it back. For some reason, you can't get it back. So the Gemara attempted yesterday to say the reason you can't get it back is because of the din of Rabbi Eliezer. And Rabbi Eliezer holds that a rabbim that chooses a road for themselves get to keep that road. And over here, they chose the road for themselves. And the Gemara doesn't like that very much because it sounds like they can arbitrarily point at a road and say, this is ours. And therefore, the Gemara says it's talking about that case was where a derech, they had a right to because it was of the lehem. And therefore, they're really only choosing what a yachid would have been able also to choose, except he would have had to go to the court. The rabbin doesn't have to go to the court. There was a machlokis, the Rashbam and Tosfos. According to the Rashbam, we're willing to entertain Rebbe Eliezer as the Tana of the Mishnah. And our Mishnah is similar enough to a case of avdalot derech, because since you gave them the derech, it's the equivalent of having some rights to it, and now you can't kind of back mekach ta'ut. Tosfos doesn't see that as being reasonable. What's the connection of the derech where they have a right to something that was a mekach ta'ut that they never had the right? So therefore, according to Tosfos, we were deichadal, and the Mishnah is not going a little bit of Rebbe Eliezer. Okay, it turned out that it was a machlokis in Rav, and what Rav had said about Rebbe Eliezer. Did Rebbe Eliezer refer to a case specifically where it was of the lo derech, or did he not? If he did, then the halacha would be like him. If he did not, then it was outrageous, and halacha was not like him. But in any event, if we're docha Rebbe Eliezer like Tosfos, the Gemara turned to what the logic would be, or if we were talking about according to Rashbam, and you held that actually we pasked in halacha like Rebbe Eliezer, so then we turned aside also. We're not going to say the mission is going shaloki ilchata. And therefore, what we have over here now is a need for new pshat in the Mishnah. What is that pshat? So yesterday we said Rav Yehuda Merav, which was something that we had seen many times before. Rav Yehuda Merav gives a pshat that a meitzah shechziku bo rabim, and note the word shechziku bo rabim. Once you're machzik in a meitzah, there's no way to take it away from a rabim. This is something of an eminent domain kind of issue in which there's nothing you could do once a rabim was machzik. That's where we were up to, and we want to continue now going back to Rebbe Eliezer now. Rebbe Eliezer asked the Gemara. Rebbe Eliezer, so now turning our attention to Rebbe Eliezer, Rabbim b'may konule, you're saying that meitzar she biru? I mean, the way Rebbe Eliezer was saying the Rabbim were birer aderech. I mean, what does that mean? They sat back and they said, and they point at that derech. I mean, that can't have any validity because there's no chazorka at all. So how would they kone that? No, when they says biru, it doesn't mean an intellectual biru. It means they chose it by walking on it. In other words, lamaisa, what ended up is that the rabbim made that path. And in making that path, it becomes theirs. It's interesting that there's actually been research over the past couple of years in defining for architectural planning, lechatchila. They took scans of how it is that without paths, a rabbin will choose a path, figured out what the issues are, and ended up now getting formulas for it, so when you plan a commons, you can make things in a way that will stop people from cutting across and so on by providing them the correct paths. In any event, there is such a thing as a rabbin
working backwards.
Yeah. So there is, we're walking backwards, exactly. Rabbi Eliezer is saying that the halicha of the rabbin itself is a chazaka. And obviously, Rabbi Eliezer must hold that a chazaka does not have to be necessarily an improvement on a property. A chazaka can just be the actual use of the property. And the truth is, we did find something like that earlier when we were talking about somebody who lays down mats, remember, in a field and sleeps on it. Is that considered to be a chazaka? So, I mean, he was saying that actually walking across the property, you don't do anything for it, is considered to be a chazaka. And where do we see this? The Tanya. Halachba, somebody purchases a field, and you now tour the property, and you're halachba la'orka ul'rachba. Kanama komi lucho divar rebeli, as you recone the area that you walked on, the chachamim amrim, and ain't he look mo'il kluma? I don't understand. What's that going to help you to walk on it? There's no improvement. You have to be achi achazik. Now, this means literally to be, actually be mechazek as yachazik. So yilok isn't helping, it's a double meaning. Moil meaning that doesn't help you anyway, but that just doesn't help the karka anyway. That what you'd have to do is you have to be mechazek by being mechazek. So in other words, you need to do something for the karka in order for it to work. Omar Abelazar, the Amora, my time at the Rebbe Eliezer, the Tana, if TV learns it out from Avram Bavinu himself. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell him, kum hitalek ba'aretz or kalaruch ba? So you see that Avram was given Eretz Yisrael through the chazaka on Eretz Yisrael that came from Alichal or Kalarogba. That must mean that if you're given a property or you're buying a property, you could simply walk across it and then you are the owner. And we actually had yesterday when we were learning the din of Benot Slofchad in the Yerusha, which we're going to have later on here in Baba Batra, that Eretz Yisrael was considered to be Mugzak. And not Ro'ui, and therefore the Bechor was able to take a double portion, even though he had died before ever arriving, and be Morish, that double portion, to Benot Zlofchad. V'Rabbanan. So the Rabbanan disagree and hold that it's not considered to be a Chazaka. So what was God doing when he was telling Avram, Kumit Alech Ba'aret, since that was a meaningless act, not having any legal validity? Says the Gemara, Hatem Mishum Chavivuta de Avramu, that was not meant to be a legal act. It was meant to be an emotional act. So it was because of the chavivas of Avram that he told him to do that. Why? When somebody feels that they own something, and even though it may not be a legal acquisition, but the fact is there is an easier sense that you have of it being yours, and the more you feel it's yours, the easier it is to take possession of something. That's the territorial imperative. So over here, it was meant to make the ultimate kivush as smooth as possible. Had there been a complete sense of ownership, then Klal Yisrael would simply have walked in and everyone would have left, which was the way it was supposed to be. So that's the ultimate kivush of Eretz Yisrael. This was given to Avram Avinu. But in Achinami, it didn't actually give him a chazaka. Om Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, modim chachamim, l'Rabbi Eliezer, b'shvir shal kiramim. It's not that the Chachomim hold that walking is of necessity nothing, because Lamaisa in a type of Kenyan where the only thing that you bought was walking. So you bought a little Shvil Shel Kramim, which is the area that you can walk, this thin path that you go between vines in the Kramim. And over there, what else are you going to do with it? It's not meant for anything else. So there the Chachomim don't say you have to improve it. That's the use of it. So walking on it is, in fact, the only chazaka that you could have. So there also they'd be mod, although the na'asele hiluch, niknebi hiluch. Since that's its purpose, that's its sole purpose, so then that's, in fact, an acquisition by assertion of ownership. Kiyota lekami de Rav Yitzchak Barami, we haven't defined, by the way, what the Shvil Shel Kramim would be, which not, once the Gemara raises it, it wants to do so, because, I mean, the Mishnah was talking about Derech HaRabim, and Derech HaKever, and Derech HaMelech. I mean, so what indeed is the meaning of a Shvil Shel Kramim? So when there was a case that came in front of Rav Yitzchak Barami, if someone who had purchased a Shvil Shel Kramim, and there was an argument about how exactly wide that was meant to be. So he said to the seller, Amar lo havo le, ki echa de dari tuna de shivivta vohada. What's norm for walking. Because when a guy is walking through areas like that, he's picking up twigs and things for firewood. And therefore, he needs enough to be able to walk with a load of firewood on his back and be able to twist around and turn, because he'll see something, he'll turn, he'll pick, but not pick it up. So that, otherwise, it's not really a useful shvil. So that would be the definition of a shvil shel karamim. It would have to be that wide. But that's only lo'am l'masayim b'chitzata. That's only if he's got now on either side, he's got some type of fence or a wall that's going to get in the way if he attempts to turn. But if there's no fence there, it's just between two rows of vines. So then he can always turn. I mean, who's telling him not to turn? Why should he have more rights to the ground just because he needs to turn? You can turn on 1 foot too. So over there, erech inami, turn on a dime. And in that case, put down 1 foot, put the next foot in front of it, and that's your shvil. You say, how am I supposed to turn around? I tell you not to turn around. Mashenkein, if lamaisa, you won't be able to turn around. So then, obviously, I was giving you those rights. Also, I'll have to move these mechitzas. Derech hayachid continues the mission as far as the shiurim are concerned. Somebody who sells a derech hayachid and doesn't define it, it's 4 amot. Tana in the brayse says achirim omrim yedei shiavor chamor b'masao. It's not 4 amot. It's what it would take for a loaded chamor with its whatever it sticks out, would be able to pass through without a problem. Omer Rav Huna halacha ka'achirim. I'm going to see in a moment what that is. So Rav Huna says, that's how we paskin. We don't paskin like this Mishnah that says 4 amot. Now, dayanei golah tanu, that this is probably a preferred girsa. Either, there was obviously it was a Tanya, but the Tanya couldn't be dayanei golah because the dayanei golah refers to Shmuel and Karna, who are amoroyim, not tanoyim. So, I mean, some attempted to change it to take out the Tanya. But you don't need to do that because the Dayanei Golah could have quoted a Braita. So it could be Tani. The Dayanei Golah said the following Braita. Then it would work out. Shnei Gamadim Umechza. So the shear would be 2 Gamadim, not referring to the dwarves over here that walk by the, Snow White, but rather Gamadim as shorter Amot is one shot. So this is an amah that's measured the way amah is usually measured to the tip of the amah, the finger of the amah, the middle finger. But over here, it's measured just till the fingers. So, or it could be just another word for amah, says the Rashbam. But anyway, it's certainly not 4 amot, certainly not 4 regular amot. So it's 2.5 amot, or perhaps even 2.5 smaller amot. The Omer Rav Huna, and in fact, Rav Huna paskins, k'dayanei golah. How can Rav Huna paskin like dayanei golah? If Rav Huna was the one who just said halacha ka'achirim, aha, unless, of course, idividi chachiuro. So now we just found out the shir of the achirim, chamor b'masa'o, is shnei gamadim u'mechza. Derech harabim sheish esrei ama. So Tanur Rabbanan, here's how it works. Basically, the derech hayachid is arba amot, because arba amot is a reasonable size for a lane. The word lane originally meant a lane, not... Why was it called a lane? Because it's a place where your stagecoach could pass through, or your chamor with its maso, plus a wagon.
It's like
a
little
toilet. Exactly. That's where you need that. So to get to anything that's reasonable, so that derech hayachid is one lane. But derech meir leir is 2 lanes. The reason it's 2 lanes is indeed, as Rashbam explains, because you need 1 lane traveling in one direction, 1 lane going in the other direction, so that nobody has to go off the road. If you have 2 stagecoaches that meet, so it would mean somebody has to go off the road. So by definition, if you're going between 2 cities, and each city has equal rights to travel, so you need 2 lanes. So that is the meaning of a 2-lane highway. So if it's a derech meir leir, therefore you need 8 amot, double the single lane. Which of course has precisely its modern counterpart. Derech harabim, if you're talking about a superhighway, which is not going particularly between 2 places, it's a highway that has exits so that you go to different cities. Everybody's using it. So then you need sheish esrei amot, because you need 2 lanes in each direction. So you have to have a 4-lane highway. So the minimum shear of a derech harabim of a superhighway is 4 lanes. No, derech harei miklat 32 amot. You need 8-lane highways for the roads to the Arei Miklat. For the roads to Arei Miklat were actually a superhighway system, a superhighway system, because they traversed the entire Eretz Yisrael, and they split it into three sections that wherever you were, you always had an exit to a special miklat highway. So those were eight-lane highways. And the reason for that is a pasuk. I'm reading a micro. Tiv tachin lecha haderech. So tachin lecha haderech is a ribui. Derech. Don't only have a typical superhighway, because obviously you'd be going from any place to your miklat. So you would need a four-lane highway. Haderech adds double that. So you need an eight-lane highway to the Ari Miklat. Derech HaMelech Ein La Shiur. When it comes to Derech HaMelech, the din is, as the Mishnah says in Sanhedrin, that the Melech is Poretz Geder, Lasot Lo Derech, Ein Mamachim Yado. He has the rights of eminent domain. And Mamela, he can go wherever he wants and break down whatever structures are in the way. And this, there's no limit to whatever is necessary, because these are the actual roads that the country needs as needed. Derech HaKever Ein La Shiur. Derech HaKever, actually the truth is I should mention that the Rashbam's pshat in Derech HaMelech, that he's Melech Poreitz Lasot Lo Derech, understands that the nature of the Derech HaMelech is personal. Not the way we normally understand it, that it's the need of the Malchut. He understands it to be the Derech HaMelech. Therefore, he needs to derive it from somewhere. How do you know that a melech has a right to anything that would be just the Derech HaMelech? This he says in the Mishnah. So he derives it from, it's his own drasha, it's very interesting. But he says it must be the same way that we darshan, that mi echav, when it comes to Kohen Gadol. So he said, mi echav means gadleu mi shelachav. So if Kohen Gadol doesn't have money, you need to appoint this guy as a Kohen Gadol, so then everybody contributes to his higher stature and his better dressing and so on and so forth. So here it also says, levilti rum levavo me'echa. So even though it's saying so that he shouldn't be stuck up from above his fellows, but meanwhile it's merames that his fellows are supposed to make him higher, so that if he wants, so that's it's very interesting. Okay, but again, the pashtus is that we're not talking about the derech of a melech that's personal. We're talking about the derech of the malchut. That's El Camino Real. The El Camino Real was not a personal road, but it's always the derech HaMelech. It's in all languages. So this is King's Highway. It's not the king's personal road. You could travel on King's Highway in Canada, El Camino Real in California or Mexico. These are all, what?
Jordan.
Derech HaMelech. So I mean, that's the idea of the Malchut. In any event, for that, we wouldn't need the Pasuk Mi'achav. Derech HaKever Ein La Shiur. Why? Because Mishum Yikud HaShachvi, remember that the Rashbam had two pshatim in Derech HaKever. One is that a Derech HaKever, it seems that way because of the way it's placed in the Mishnah, is related to the idea of Derech HaMelech. That there's a takana that for a funeral procession that we can temporarily invade areas that don't belong to the public. But since you need an enormous amount of people, they made this takana that people could simply spill out over the roadways. That Rashbam himself doesn't like that pshat. He learns that it means that you sold the rights to a Derech HaKever that once in a while would be used for funeral purposes. But there's no shear. In other words, you can't say, well, I only let you have 16 amot and so on. Why? Because, says the Gemara, because of the yikra de shechva. It's the honor of the deceased. Because what are you going to do now? You're going to have people that are chasing you. Hey, get off of this area. It's disgusting. This is supposed to be, everything is secondary to this, to the chashivas of the niftar. So because of that, that's part of the understanding of what he sold, or part of the takana, depending on what pshat we take. Similar to Bizman Hazeh, that we temporarily allow you to go through red lights and stop other traffic and so on. So there's a recognition that the yikra, the shivcha, it would be very not nice for a funeral procession to start worrying about the red light and so on, or some guy who wants to make a left turn. What kind of chutzpah is that? So we understand that you go right through, same thing is true over here.
But this doesn't include strawberry patches and stuff like that. What if you have,
It's strawberry fields forever. We're talking about just regular fields. Hamamad dayanetzi pori amru bat arba akabin. Tan Rabban, we don't know exactly what this mamad is, and the Gemara is going to get to it by a series of halachas. But first of all, the Brayta says like this: Amocha kivro, a person's hard up for money sells his kever, or derech kivro, or makom ma'amado, or the beit hesped for himself. But in b'nei mishpacha v'kovrino ta'akorcha, the family can insist on burying him there, and it's too bad for the people who bought it. They'll just pay back the money. So therefore, that's a particular takana because mishum pagam mishpacha, because it's inappropriate for a mishpacha to have to worry about how it looks for one of them needing to be buried somewhere else and so on. So there, meanwhile, that gives us now an opening into the relationship between kever, derech hakever, ma'amad, and beit hesped. And so, therefore, continues now the Gemara. There's also a braita that starts discussing the nature of the ma'amadot. Tana rabbanan. Ein pochatim mishiv'a ma'amadot u'moshavot lemeit. There needs to be at least seven of these, whatever they are. We're still going to have to explain them. Getting up and getting down for the mate. And the reason we made seven is keneged havel havalim. And that havel havalim amar kohelet, hakol havel, if you analyze the number of times it says havel, including the lachon rabim of havalim, you end up with seven times that you're now going to express the idea of the futility of earthly life. Omale ravach, breda ravel ravashi, echi avde. How exactly is that done? So obviously, as we'll see later, this was not a minhag that everyone had seen. There are places where the Gemara will say there was no such minhag. Ravach had never seen one. So what does this mean exactly? How do you do ma'amadot moshavot? Omar leke etanya. Omer b'Yehuda, b'Yehuda b'rishona. So again, this was the minhag, particularly in Yehuda, that initially lo hayu pochatim mishiva ma'amadot moshavot lameit. When I say that, what I mean is, like people saying, imdu yikarim amodu, shvu yikarim shovu. So they would say, basically, for the people who were mourning and who were crying, get up and let's move on. They would reach a certain place. If they sit down, and then they would again, maybe somebody would say a few words about the mate, and they would once again be bocha. So this was on their way back from the kvura, which is the mashma'ut later, and most rishonim, or on the way, as Rashi says elsewhere, to the kever, which became now the minhag in Yerushalayim, which is the stop on the way for a kaddish and so on. It's keneged the inyonim of ma'amad, and this was to increase the seriousness of the procession. Omrulah, so the Chachamim said that can't be it, because I mean, if that's it, so then what's wrong with doing that even on Shabbos if it's just imdu and shvu? So, and we know that we don't do it on Shabbos. So in other words, if a funeral occurred right before Shabbos, so then what would be wrong with on the way back into town? Here again, it's only because on the way back,
right,
it's problematic, right? So, av b'Shabbat mutar lasot kein. This is very weird. Now, they don't have another shot. So, in other words, they're stopped saying something's missing. All these others are imdu shvu. If we put in the issues of cry and say a few words about the maid, it's obvious why it's not done on Shabbos. But they're just saying, I mean, that's not enough, because then if you're, all the guy says is let's stand up and let's sit down, there's nothing that's anti-Shabbos about that. Achte, the Rami Bar Papa. Now, Rav Papa's sister was married to Rav Avia. Nasiva Leila Rav Avia, and she died. Shchiva. So Rav Avia, Abad La Ma'amadu Moshav, Rav Avia went ahead and made a Ma'amadu Moshav, and he was in a location where nobody else did this. So Omer Rabbi Yosef said, well, he did two things wrong, because he knew what he was doing. So, I mean, so he assumed Ma'amad Moshav, that's what happens when you're not part of a minhag and you do it all wrong. First of all, what he did, in the first thing he did wrong was Enosin Ela B'Krovim. You don't say to the entire public to sit down. It's only the relatives that are supposed to mourn. V'uav Adafil B'Chokim. And besides that, this is something that's done only on the first day, meaning back on the way back from the kever, and he did this like as a ceremony, which was completely off the wall, because there's no such ceremony. Bias says that wasn't the only mistakes he made. He was also the point of the ma'amad is that it relates to your journey from the Beit HaKvarot. And he did this, I mean, obviously because it was the second day, so it was no longer the Beit HaKvarot. He did it in the middle of the town. Vosa Be'ir. Rava says, that's not the only mistakes he made. Ba'anami ta'a. She'enosin elabim welcome shenagu. This thing is a minhag. It's not Is that something you can go and do as a sign of your personal respect? It's meaningful only within the context of the minhag. And he did it, v'hatam, in his town, lo nohuk. Obviously, because he knew what he was doing. But you're not even supposed to do things. Today, it's very, like, prevalent. Everybody grabs any minhag that they see anywhere and says, okay, you know, that looks like a good minhag, let's do it. That's what the Gemara is saying. You don't, something is meaningful when it is part of a traditional minhag. It's not meaningful when you're trying to import it from somewhere and say, this is the minhag that they do in so-and-so, and therefore let's do it. That's not correct. Meitve. So the problem is, didn't they say, Af b'Shabbat mutar la'asot kein? How could they have said, Af b'Shabbat mutar la'asot kein? We're assuming now that the Beit HaKvarot, normally Beit HaKvarot was outside of the Tum. Because you weren't able to get from the Beit HaKvarot to the city. So if you're telling me you do this, that Af b'Shabbat, you should be able to do it Af b'Shabbat, and the idea over here is that it's only done in the Beit HaKvarot, or only done on the Yom HaRishon, this makes no sense. Because of course you can't do it on Shabbat. What would you be doing in a Beit HaKvarot on Shabbat? So it was a silly question. If this is the halacha, the yamid the Beit HaKvarot to be Yom HaRishon, how in the world would you be in a Beit HaKvarot on Shabbat, since you couldn't have made the funeral near Shabbat, because then you wouldn't be able to get back home. You'd have had to wait until Sunday to do the funeral. No, I mean, we're talking about over here, the Beit HaKvarot Shabbat, my boy, we're talking about Be'ir Asmuchal Beit HaKvarot. We're talking about a town that is close to a Beit HaKvarot. So they did the funeral on Tuya Ben HaShemashot right before Shabbos. Now they're walking back. And what the Chachomim are pointing out, the review of it, that's what it is. Get up, sit down. I mean, so they could do that on their way to Shul on Erev Shabbos. I mean, what's the problem with that? So there's got to be something you've left out. Okay, but in Achinani, it would be ridiculous. What are you going to do? Come back on the next day to the Beit HaKvarot and Yom HaShemin? Of course not. So there, it's one of the things that he did wrong. He did it in the wrong place, did it on the wrong day, did it in the wrong location, Bichlal, and did it in the wrong way. So it's not too many other ways you could do things wrong. V'Reb Eliezer, Rabbim b'maykon, ulei, v'hilucha. Titania, halach ba l'orka ul'rochba, kana makom yilucho, divi Reb Eliezer, v'chachamim omrim, ein hiluch mo'il klum, achi achazik. Om Reb Eliezer, my time to Reb Eliezer, t'chthiv kum yitalech ba'aretz l'orka ul'rochba, kilachat nena. V'rabanan, hatam is not for legal kinyan, it's Vishum Chavivuta de Avraham or de Karmalayachi. Kedeshe Noach Lichvosh Lifnevanav. Omar Rabbi Yezib Rabbi Hanina Modim Chachamim La Rabbi Eliezer. Bishvilsha Keramim. Hoel Venahasele Yiloch. Nik Nebi Yiloch. Kyoto the Kamir of Yitzhak Barami a case of a machlok is about the size of a Shvilsha Keramim. Omalo Havule Kehecha the Darituna de Shavivta. Vohada. V'lo'aman ele the Mesaimin Mechitzata, which would prevent him from twisting around. Avalo Mesaimin Mechitzata, Kiega de Shoko Karo Monach Kara. Derach Hayachid Arbaamo, Tanachirim Omrim Kedeshi Avor Chamor B'masa'o. Omrevuna Alachaka Achirim. Dayane Golatana, Shnei Gamadim Umechza. V'omrevuna Alachaka Dayane Golatana. I thought Revuna just said Alachaka Achirim. Clearly, he did the Chachi Yorohu. Derach Harabim Sheshesre Amma. Ton Rabban and Derech Hayachid Arba Amot, Derech Meir Leir Shmone Amot, Derech Harabim Sheshesre Amot, Derech Harei Miklat Shloshim Vishtayim Amot, Omrevuna Maikra Dechtiv Tachin Lecha Had Derech, Dorech Had Derech, Derech HaMelech Ein Lashiyur Shemelech Paretz Keder Lasot Lo Derech Ve'in Memakin Biyado, Derech HaKever Ein Lashiyur Mishum Yikra Deshichva, HaMa'amad Dayanei Tzipurei Omro Bat Arba Akabim, Tana Rabbanan, Amocher Kivro, Derech Kivro, Makom Mamado, Beit Espedo, Bain Benea Mishpacha, Vakovrino to Al Korchom, Bishum Pagam Mishpacha. Tana Rabbanan in Pochatin Mishiva, Amadot, Moshavot Lomait, Keneged Havel, Havalim, Amakohelet, Havel, Havalim, Akol Havel. Omle Ravacha, Bray the Ravel, Ravashi Echi Avde, Omale Kiritania, Omer of Yuda, ביהודה בראשונה לא היו פוחתים משבעה מעמדות ומושבות למת, כגון, עמדו יקרים עמודו, שבו יקרים שבו. אומר לו, that's all it is, enough בשבת מותר לעשות כן. Akte de Rami Bar Papa and Sivile Rabavia Shiva Avadla Ma'amadu Moshavan Radias Vitaha Batarte. Ta'ash Eno Sinela Bikrovim Vuavada Filbrachokim. Vita'ash Eno Sinela Biom Rishon Vuavad Biomashini. Abayama Ba Namita Eno Sinela Betakvarot. Vuasa Beir. Ravama Ba Namita Eno Sinela Bakum Shinago. Vahatam Lo Nago. Meitve. Amruloim Ken Hapu Shabbat Mutala Sorkin. If you're right, that it's only be Bet HaKvarot and Biyom Rishon, so then it's a crazy question. Bet HaKvarot be Shabbat, my boy. No, why not? It could be talking about an ear, Hasbuchala Bet HaKvarot, where they were Amtuya Ben HaShvashot to do the funeral, and they're on the way back. If Rabbi Yehuda is saying that that's all it is, they're saying, so why can't you do it on the way back?